You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
On October 25th, Toronto residents elected Rob Ford as their new mayor. Of the top contestants, he was considered by many to be the most right-wing. Ford won with 47% of the vote. Turnout on Election Day dramatically increased since past elections from 39 to 53%. I'm joined this morning on the phone by Ottawa by Rich Wyman. Rich is a labor organizer in Toronto and a member of the International Socialists. He wrote the article, Rob Ford and the Rise of the Municipal Right. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning.
Can you give us a snapshot of Rob Ford's background?
Well, Rob Ford comes from a fairly wealthy family in Toronto, not the top ruling class, but his dad built a small business, I think, making labels, sort of like a print shop. So they've got a substantial plant in Toronto and a couple in the United States. So he's, you know, presented himself as one of the little guys, but he's far from being a little guy, given that he inherited a thriving, international business from his father. And he's been a city councillor for quite some time and generally portrayed himself as, you know, sort of the tax fighter. I don't spend public money. I don't use the money that the city gives me for my office staff and things like that. I pay for it all out of my own pocket. And presented himself continually as the guy that fights taxes. That's how he's presented himself and, you know, decided to run for mayor of Toronto. About 8 months ago, he launched his campaign on the slogan of stopping the gravy train, i.e. stop, you know, lavish spending at City Hall, stop giving public, you know, public employees, you know, lavish pensions, time to run the city like a business, all that sort of stuff is how he positioned himself. And his dad was also a member of the Harris government in Ontario, and I don't think that the son has strayed too far from his dad's politics.
And what are his views socially around social diversity, for instance?
Well, he's on the right wing, obviously. He, you know, made several statements about, you know, wanting to stop immigration into Toronto, that Toronto's overburdened with immigrants, that it's a drain on the taxpayer. He threatened to pull funding from festivals like Caravana and Pride, saying he doesn't know why the city would pump money into those things. He didn't openly make any, you know, incredibly bigoted statements, but you can read into those sorts of statements exactly what sort of politics he has.
What kind of policies was he running on? What was his platform?
Well, the main slogan on his platform was Stop the Gravy Train, which is, you know, stop the lavish, you know, spending by city councilors. He ran very heavily on one of the councilors from downtown Toronto, Kyle Ray, who'd, you know, generally been seen for a while as being on the progressive side of council and, you know, of late had been more in the middle ground, not necessarily supporting things people had hoped he would. But he was retiring out of council, and so he had a retirement party in which the city spent $12,000. And so Rob Ford held that up as, you know, why won't the city pay for everybody's retirement? This is a gross waste of money. Use those sorts of things to, you know, sort of feed into the anger that exists out there about, you know, taxes being too high, services being too low. So that's generally what he ran on was, you know, his big slogan was stopping the gravy train.
And for workers in Toronto, where is he coming from with respect to labor rights and so forth?
Well, he's very clear about he would like to privatize the garbage collection in the city. The riding, the area he's from in Toronto is called Etobicoke, which pre-Harris years was its own sort of city, but was amalgamated, and there was a sweep of municipal amalgamations under Harris. And so services in Toronto were amalgamated, but in his area, the city of Etobicoke, garbage had been privatized, you know, several decades ago. And so they had private garbage collection. It was unionized, and he always repeats that it's a unionized garbage collection service, but the wages, pensions, and benefits are much lower than they are in the rest of the city of Toronto. So one of the things he said, and there was a big strike of municipal workers last summer in Toronto, and he used that as sort of his launch pad to say that's part of the gravy train, these benefits, these pensions that these workers have. The city should privatize services like that to, you know, basically the lowest bidder. So that's obviously going to affect a lot of workers in Toronto, particularly those in the public sector who work for the city. But he also said that he wanted to get rid of what's called the fair wage policy in Toronto, which means that it primarily affects construction workers and building trades employees. So what it says is it says that any bids the city puts out to tender for buildings, construction, repairs that won't be done by city employees have to be bid at a basic, you know, a fair wage, which is comparable to that of a union rate, which means that contractors can't underbid unionized companies for those jobs. So he said he'd like to get rid of that because it pushes costs up too high, which will put, I think, a serious dent into the strength of the building trades in Toronto by allowing companies to begin to underbid union rates in the city.
The other two candidates who received a significant portion of the vote were George Smitherman at 35% and Joe Pantalone at 11%. Tell us about those candidates.
Well, Smitherman's a lifelong liberal. He had been a member of provincial parliament where he oversaw, I think he'll be remembered for, as overseeing a massive scandal in the what was called the e-health scandal, which was an attempt to digitize health records to make them more, so that they can travel with you from doctor to doctor, I suppose. And it just went into massive, massive cost overruns, going up to almost, I think, $1 billion under his watch. And, you know, a handful of contractors made out like bandits. And the service still isn't complete. So he comes out of that sort of McGuinty liberal tradition, where he also made it clear that he would like to investigate the privatization of services or the selling off of assets, which Rob Ford, by the way, also has put out there in terms of privatizing water, potentially looking at selling off of the public utilities, Toronto Hydro, or parts of it, to raise funding, to raise money for the city. George Smitherman made it clear that he was interested in looking at those avenues, but not as vociferous as Rob Ford, so to say. He didn't talk about the fair wage policy, but in essence, he was open to P3s and privatizing aspects of city services. Pantalone comes out of the NDP end of the world, was a supporter of David Miller, who's the outgoing mayor in Toronto, and generally sort of campaigned on we want a safe transit city, which was the other big debate in Toronto. I apologize to not mention that earlier, which is a massive investment in light rapid transit throughout the city of Toronto. It's a very big issue, given how bad transit is in Toronto and that there hasn't been a big investment in almost 30 years. Rob Ford wants to scrap that and put money into subways that won't really serve anybody, much like a previous mayor, Mel Lastman, did. So Pantalone ran on saving transit city, this program, and saving services and, not cutting taxes, not privatizing. In essence, if you were opposed to privatization, Pantalone was the only candidate you could really support.
Was there a truly progressive candidate?
I would say no. There wasn't anybody that was going to stand up and tap into the anger that exists out there amongst working people about that the status quo isn't working for them, that, they've seen under a quote-unquote progressive council, all kinds of fees and taxes being initiated, which is what Rob Ford tapped into, right? That there's now $200 per household garbage tax, $60 car re-registration fee. Really, for many people, who make $70,000 or $80,000 or more a year, not a big deal. But for a third of the households in Toronto where, individuals are only making, under $30,000 a year, those costs were sort of whipped up into big things by Rob Ford. Smitherman tailed that, and Pantalone wouldn't address the fact that, under the 8 years of Mayor Miller and a supposed progressive council, industrial, manufacturing wages had fallen on average by $3 to $5 an hour. Unemployment was growing. Services were not meeting the needs of communities. That, even the TD Bank had to acknowledge that there was a huge growing gap inside Toronto. And so, Pantalone, as a supposed progressive candidate, really was just reflecting the status quo, that he wouldn't change anything, whereas Rob Ford was promising change, regardless of what the change, the change being a negative change for most working people, the fact that he was standing there saying the status quo doesn't work anymore, I think, built up a head of steam for Rob Ford, unfortunately.
How do you explain the large turnout, the big increase in turnout?
Well, like a lot of elections, we just saw this in the United States, not that I would consider the Democrat Party a party of the left at all, but there's an anger out there that there's been an economic crisis. People's lives have been made worse. And, the wealthy and top end of society is not suffering at all. As a matter of fact, they're gaining out of this crisis while everybody else's lives are getting worse. And so people like Rob Ford were able to step in with a very populist sort of rhetoric about, why is a hardworking guy paying, you know, all this money for, you know, counselors to have $12,000 retirement parties, for counselors to take French lessons, for a garbage collector to have a pension, really whipped up that sort of anger that exists out there about the economic crisis and the fact that people's lives aren't getting better, they're getting worse, and was able to utilize that and steer it, I think, to the right, which meant that the election in Toronto, there was a big debate. And, you know, that's, I think, what drove people to the polls.
What do you think?
With the fear from some sectors of Rob Ford. So I think another layer, it wasn't just Rob Ford picking up new votes. It was also there was a layer of people very frightened of Rob Ford going out to vote as well to, you know, try to make sure he didn't win.
What do you think is ahead for Labour in Toronto to try to successfully defeat Ford's agenda?
Well, the interesting thing is, despite, you know, the victory of Ford, he only got 47% of those that voted. You know, voter turnout was, you know, 52%, which means less than a quarter of people who were eligible to vote voted for Rob Ford. And that, of course, the eligible voters does not include, you know, a massive lack of people in the city of Toronto who don't have full status or don't have citizenship yet and couldn't vote, which is, you know, a quite significant number of people in the city. So if you look at who lives in Toronto, Ford, you know, didn't get anywhere close to a majority of people voting for him. So in one sense, you know, you can't be doom and gloom and assume that everybody shifted to the right on this vote. The second thing to look at is that the Labour Council, which is quite a good progressive activist-based Labour Council in Toronto, out of the candidates they endorsed, over half of them, and I think it was about 26 councillors or something they endorsed, I think about 15 won their seats, including some in ridings with quite a substantial margin winning that. Well, that riding itself voted for Rob Ford as mayor. So there's splits, and it doesn't mean that Rob Ford controls council at this point either. So it's unclear what Rob Ford will do, but, you know, the fear is if the labor movement and activists wait for the so-called progressive councillors to do something, we're going to find ourselves in a heck of a lot of trouble. So there already are initiatives in Toronto. There was a campaign that was started about 2 months ago, a little bit late going into the election period, called One Toronto, which was to cut against a thing that Ford was very much playing on, which is that the downtown core and the suburbs are two almost distinct parts of the city, and it was to cut against that saying that, you know, we want a Toronto that reflects, you know, who lives in Toronto. We want a Toronto that defends services. We want a Toronto with equitable transit, trying to build a more progressive base to challenge Ford, not just, you know, in the election, but coming out of the election as well. So there are initiatives. There's a Good Jobs Alliance, which is an alliance of labor and community organizations, which has stood up for the fight for good green jobs in the city of Toronto. So there are bases in which to reject Ford's agenda.
Well, it's been really good talking with you this morning, Rich, and we'll stay tuned.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot. I've been speaking with labor organizer Rich Wyman. He wrote the article Rob Ford and the Rise of the Municipal Right, which can be found in the Bullet online at socialistproject.ca/bullet.